Hello, everybody.
Hi, Andrew.
We are outside of the Accessibly Anglican Studios at Lovano in Liberty Park in Birmingham, in Alabama, in the United States of America.
Technically Vestavia Hills, but who's counting?
Liberty Park in Vestavia Hills in Alabama.
Thank you.
Today is a special episode for multiple reasons. One, because we're outside. Will's been wanting to do this, and so now we're finally doing this.
Hi, outside world.
We'll see if it causes crazy noises. I don't know. I don't really care all that much. It's going to be okay.
Either. Yeah.
And Will doesn't really even know exactly what we're doing. This is going to be a short episode today, and I want to front load a little important bit of information. I'm going to scoot in even closer to you.
Ooh.
I want to front load a little
this
bit of information.
This is how much your co-hosts love each other.
I'm going to front load a little bit of information in case you don't make it to the end. We have elected to...
That sounds very Presbyterian.
It has been divinely ordained.
Closer. That, how can you make it more Anglican?
We believe that it will most benefit our spirit and walk with the Lord.
There you go.
If we take a pause from the podcast.
Strategic pause.
Strategic pause. We're coming back. I feel very confident. Something, I don't think we talked about it on the podcast itself, but we've made it past 20 episodes, and Woo. Something like 99% of podcasts that are started do not make it past episode 20.
That's right. We actually have 22. They're just not named by a number because they're guest appearances.
Yeah. And like, so for that reason, I feel good in saying that we're coming back.
Yep.
Will, how long are we going to pause?
I'd say at least for the fall semester, which means from now until the end of November, maybe when Advent and the active part of the church calendar picks back up, maybe a very advantageous time, no pun intended, to pick it back up and to talk about each section of the calendar as we walk through it together. So that's one option. I'd love to hear the people's feedback,
yeah,
all of our tens
us.
Of people that listen to this.
Reach out to us and let us know what you think, and maybe we'll listen. I don't know.
And also, I should add, too, that us doing this is not, I mean, yes, we realize like we're about to enter a really full season. Mm-hmm. I'm a full-time head pastor of a church. Andrew's full on with the music ministry and other things at our church. The fall is just a really busy time. It's a strategic moment for us to say no to this, to say yes to other things. But I would hold this out to you and turn it back around and say, what are the things right now in your particular season of life that you are being led to say no to in order to say yes to other things?
Right.
We're trying to model that just a bit here. And I know you're so sad that you're not going to see our faces every week, but guess what?
Or hear our faces.
You could actually start at episode one again and just go straight through those 20 episodes, and by the time you're done, we'll be back.
Such a great point.
Yeah.
So we're going to get into it. Will doesn't know what we're talking about. I know what we're talking about. I figured it out on the way over here.
Cool.
But before we do that, I'm Andrew Panik.
And I'm Will Schaferman.
And this is Accessibly Anglican, a podcast for the Anglo-curious. So, Will.
Andrew.
Who are you? Mind you, we have talked about this
episode
sort
one.
Of at some,
this is full
yeah.
circle right now.
But I think that hopefully there are people that are regularly listening. We have about 35 regular listeners, and surely some of them don't know. So tell us your full Christian name. Tell us who lives in your household. This sounds like a medical intake interview. Give us your emergency contact, your social security number, your
are
credit
you a smoker?
Card numbers. Are you a smoker? Go ahead.
My name is William Haswell Thomas Schaferman.
Hmm.
And no, that is not a regal name. It's just the name that my parents decided was fitting. And it's all family. I have two grandfathers represented in the first three names and then my last name. I am from Virginia, the great state, or rather Commonwealth of Virginia.
The first state?
I guess it depends on who you ask. But it certainly was the place where people landed for the first time that made any sort of consequential movement toward creating the colonies.
Yeah.
Jamestown. But
where the Anglicans landed.
Where the Anglican it's a bad joke. So anyway, I'm from that state, from that Commonwealth, Arlington in particular, and spent the first 18 years of my life, besides 2 years at boarding school, in that state, and technically was still in Virginia, but was 2 hours south. Met my wife at Furman University in Greenville, South Carolina. We moved to Birmingham once, back up to D.C., and then back again. We now have three kiddos. We have a six-year-old, Caroline, a four, almost five-year-old in 2 weeks from now. We should give you a birthday invite if we care enough about you. To Emily's birthday on the 20th of September, so she'll be five. She'll be in kindergarten next year. And then we have a seven-week-old named Thomas. Shout out to Thomas Cramer and Thomas Aquinas and Thomas Elliot, otherwise known as T.S. Elliot. A lot of good Thomases there in history. There's one that doubted a long time ago. But yeah, those are my kiddos. We have a very charmed life because we live among wonderful people at Restoration Anglican Church, which I am the pastor of. And if you can hear that dump truck dumping out lots of sand and rocks, you're welcome.
It's going to be fine. Don't even worry about it.
Don't even worry about it. So that being said, I am the pastor at a church plant.
Yes.
That is, depending on when you count our like birthday, either 4 years old, 3 years old, or like a year and a half old.
Yeah.
We started discerning this with our diocese 4 years ago. We started meeting in our house 3 years ago, and we launched weekly services in January of 24. So whatever that makes us, we're that old.
So let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Yep. I didn't know we were getting ahead of ourselves.
You're getting ahead of ourselves. You're getting ahead of myself.
Yourself?
Of me-self.
Yousef?
Yousef Days? Or like Yousef, formerly known as Cat Stevens.
There you go.
I love Cat Stevens. So, okay. How did you come to know about the Anglican Church?
That's a great question. I grew up in the Episcopal Church, which is Anglican, surprise for many people. It's just the it's kind of square rectangle analogy. All Anglicans are Anglicans. All Episcopalians are Anglicans. But when you say Anglican in North America, you typically mean the ACNA, the Anglican Church in North America. And the Episcopalian Church is the sort of like root off of which the ACNA split back in the early 2000s.
So were you an altar boy? Did you?
No, I didn't do all the things. We were a low church.
Okay.
Episcopalian church, which meant that like by the time I was in high school, especially, we kind of like didn't do a lot of those things. So I think we still had acolytes or something. But anyway, that was my upbringing. But then I got to college. I became a Presbyterian. I know you're happy about that. I was part of a ministry called Campus Outreach,
yep.
CO,
yep.
Which at Furman was very complicated. And by complicated, I mean highly legalistic.
Ah.
But I'm still grateful for the leaders and for the people that shaped and formed me, mostly in the good ways. And then became a non-denom for like a year when I met my wife, who was going to a non-denom. And then we moved to Birmingham, and we randomly walked into an Anglican church, not trying to, and we kind of stayed there. And then I felt called to church leadership, went to seminary, an Anglican seminary, because I was already at an Anglican church. But even when I started seminary, I didn't really know what Anglicanism meant or was. It wasn't until I was actually studying it and actually going toward ordination that I was like, oh, this is actually really cool. I'm really glad that I'm in this tradition. Wow, there's a whole world that I didn't know about.
I think that a lot of people become Anglicans by accident.
Yes.
I did. That could be like a band name.
Well, it's kind of like C.S. Lewis, who is an Anglican, by the way. Surprised by joy. You can be surprised by Anglicism. Anyway, go ahead.
I became Anglican because Will Schaeferman called me one day and said, hey, can you fill in at our church on the 17th? And then he called me back and he was like, hey, can you also fill in on Christmas Eve? And I said, yep.
Yes.
Because I wanted to be a worship leader and I didn't know that I wanted to be Anglican.
And now you know.
I love being Anglican. My brother is working on a top secret project for us, and we were talking about it last night, and he was asking me things about the BCP, and I was pretty impressed at my
Book of Common Prayer.
The Book of Common
Prayer.
For
the uninitiated.
I was pretty impressed at my own ability to rattle some of that stuff off because we've been talking about it for 20 weeks.
Like, wow, this is in my bones.
Yeah. So, Will.
Yes, Andrew.
You looked at Birmingham, Alabama, and this is not an exaggeration, at one of the most churched cities in the world.
Number two? Behind?
Somewhere in Poland, right?
Nope.
Behind where?
You're actually very surprising. Chattanooga.
Interesting.
I don't know if it's the world or U.S., but it's one of those two. And I'm thinking if it's in the U.S., it's got to be in the world too, right? Because, I mean, like,
right. Yeah.
We're like land of evangelicalism, all that.
I know
anyway,
that,
go ahead.
I know that Poland has a lot of churches, but
okay.
Anyway.
Yes. Number two in America, for sure.
And you looked at that landscape and said, you know what this town needs?
Another church plant.
Another church.
Yep.
So tell us about why you started Restoration and how easy it's been and how it's just been like skipping along in a daisy field.
No problems at all. It's So Restoration was not my intention. We came out of season of burnout in 2020 during COVID. We burned out before COVID, but then like COVID hit and then we left DC and never had an intention to plant a church. That was like the furthest thing that I wanted to do.
Because you had gone through an Anglican seminary. You didn't start in an Anglican seminary, did you?
I started at a Presbyterian seminary.
And then you moved to RTS. An Anglican seminary, and then you worked in an Anglican church for six years. And then,
and I'm eternally grateful for that church, and it's a wonderful home. I just, the work that I was particularly doing at that season was overly demanding, and I just couldn't keep up the pace.
Very much matches the sort of DC fast-paced social climbing.
Which gets to your question, because when we got down here, my job description, according to the conversation I had with Ashley, was to be a married monk. I literally started a blog called the same thing and thought I could just write blog posts, chop wood in the backyard, and just kind of be for a long time. And Ashley was like, cool, sounds great. I'm going to go be a pediatrician and be much smarter and more successful in all the ways that possibly can.
High five for being out-earned by your wife at all times. I'm in that club as well.
She works 2 days a week and makes more money than me. Yep. Fun fact, she's about to drop down to 1 week, on 1 day a week. So I might actually beat her out barely.
That's the only way I was able to make more than my wife is if I work full-time and she works 2 days a week.
Okay.
I technically make more overall than her.
Okay. Well, all that is to say is...
We married strong and intelligent women.
Yeah. Yeah. So we got down here. I was like, I want to be a married monk. I considered a PhD for a hot second. There was a lead on that was very compelling. Decided against it because I felt like that was just jumping straight into sort of like the machine of production and productivity. And then I thought, well, maybe I could be a spiritual director and just kind of, you know, help people to cultivate rhythms of life.
Knowing you as I do, the fact that you thought that you could like sort of, you know, sit at home and take on this relaxed life is really hilarious. Like to me, looking back, it seems inevitable.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But that's not to say that you didn't learn
from
your burnout experience.
And those 12 months of not working, I took a long sabbatical before we really actively started to discern this opportunity with our diocese. Were months of coming back to life and realizing that I wanted to do things differently if I did enter back into pastoral ministry. I still didn't want a church plant, even though by the time we got down to Birmingham, I realized, by the way, not only is Birmingham like the second most church city in the world, it also has a lot of really great churches. It's not just like there are a lot of them, but many of them are high quality, doing really good work in the community. Mm-hmm. And so in spite of that, the Lord kept putting church plant on our hearts in different conversations, in different ways. And one of the reasons for that is because of my burnout. We wanted to, I realized that you don't need to live in DC and work 60 hours a week and have two parents, adults that are, you know, working full-time jobs to burn out. You can just be a millennial or a Gen Zer with a smartphone and just live your everyday life. And you're basically burned out every day. And we realized that like the day and age we live in, spiritual formation and like learning the rhythms of grace that accompany the way of Jesus are so important that it's worth starting a church that is teaching people those things. We realized that there are other churches in town doing some of that. In fact, there are two Anglican churches that I think Anglicanism already has that built into its bones. But we felt like there was a need to plant a church that was expressly trying to cultivate the way of life represented in Jesus's life of rhythm and grace and rest, but out of that, active mission and care and concern for the world.
Creating space so that we can
do mission. Fulfill our mission. That's right.
And now Will only works 50 hours a week.
I think I don't know how many hours I work, but dropping this podcast will go a long way in keeping that sustainable pace. I will say this. There have been weeks where I'm really tired, and there have been like stretches of time in church planting where you're just pretty exhausted, but it's never, ever once been to the degree that it used to be. And that's because even in those really tough weeks, the next week I'm back into sort of rest mode, and I just have the flexibility to do that as a pastor, head pastor of a church, but also have just set down pretty rigid boundaries for how I want to live my life.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, it's funny from my perspective, it's really funny because, you know, all of this was sort of told to me early on, and Will's like, you know, I don't want to burn out, like, you know, do, you know, things reasonable and create all this space. And then I watched him be like one of the most like grinding, motivated people I've ever met. But at the same time, it's not that you're being untrue to the things that you're saying. Like, I do see how you manage to sort of do both. I've tried to embody that some. I don't think I'm doing a great job. I think that I either have weeks where I do nothing or do too much, but,
sure.
But you know, it's a process.
It is.
So 60 to 90 seconds.
Yes.
Give us like bullet point timeline of restoration.
Of like where we came from.
Yes.
Okay. So, point one, we were a dream in my wife and I's heart, but it wasn't a church plant. So when we got away, before we actually moved to Birmingham, we spent 9 weeks at my parents' little river shack in the northern neck of Virginia, middle of nowhere. This is during COVID, during all the George Floyd stuff. We were like totally away from the news. It was kind of like paradise because we were totally ignorant to everything that was happening. Then we learned about it and we grieved about it and all that. But the point was those 9 weeks were totally away. And we listened. We were like, okay, God, we've like taken this huge leap. We don't really know what's next. My wife didn't even have a job at that point. And we had a baby on the way, our second. And what the Lord began to put on our heart was this vision for a place that had land that could be a sort of a center to form and equip the saints to live lives of consequence through rhythms of grace, and to enter into the mission God had for them by giving them a sort of schema for their life. How do you live a life purposefully in those rhythms of rest into mission? And we wanted it to be a kind of retreat center, or sort of like a labrie, if you're familiar with that. Francis Schaeffer started this place in Switzerland, but ours would be in Alabama. Yeah, it's really good. Labrie was a place of rest, but also equipping. And we wanted that in Alabama, because it was me trying to get away from being a pastor. I was like, if I could be a retreat center leader, then maybe I don't have to have the burden of what comes with being a pastor. Okay, so that's step one. Step two, that didn't materialize. We got down here and all the doors shut, like all of them shut. There's no movement on that. And then step two was, okay, we've caught this vision for a need in Birmingham for the kind of church that's here. Maybe we could take the original idea that was wrapped up in a retreat place and actually build it into a church's vision. And so if you go to our website, restorationbhm.org, you'll see a very strange vision for the church. We are a church that exists in three overlapping spaces, or at least will exist in those capacities: parish, land, and abbey. Okay, so parish is the church proper, what you think of, worship, discipleship, mission, all that. Just everything that you think of with the local church, down to its essential ingredients. That's the parish. That's what we're building now. That's what we've been planting now and working toward establishing. The second is the land. So we want to have, I call it 40 acres in town. So it's not a retreat center away. It's an urban center of rest that is where the church resides, but a place that has walking trails and a farm and a garden, and just a place where we can be reminded that the gospel is not merely vertical but horizontal, and that the material world matters. We've talked about this multiple times on the podcast, but to embody the real in an age that's becoming increasingly more fictitious and artificial. So that's the second piece to land. The last piece is the Abbey, which is A-B-B-E-Y, not A-B-B-Y, which would be one of our favorite people at our church. Abbey That is a center for spiritual formation. So it's a place where we embody the historic Benedictine. If you don't know who Benedict was, he was a monk back in the day, kind of the godfather of monasticism. He had three rules or three parts of his rule, which were work, prayer, and study. And we want to teach and equip and embody those three things. So we want to have people learn what it means to see their work as a means of God's participating in God's mission, and have a co-working space that embodies that. We want to have a place where people can connect their view of the world with the worldview of God, a study center, if you will. Perhaps one day we can help spawn an Anglican school, partner with the other Anglican churches in town. And then finally, a place of prayer, rest, and study. So the prayer piece is really just having spiritual direction, having retreats on the ground for people to come and to learn those rhythms of rest. That's what we want, and that's what the vision of the church is. So that's the quick, like, 90-second. That's probably more like 120 seconds or 180, but you get the drift.
Yeah. And so...
So where are we now?
Yeah, so, well, I can fill in this part. So, y'all met in your house.
Yep. Fall of 22, we had four people besides ourselves.
It's so crazy to think about, because fall of 22, Wesley was born, and, like, I could have known y'all and been there, but I didn't.
Our church is the age of your son.
It is.
If that's when you count it.
Yeah. And so, you know, y'all did that for
a year
and then started having occasional meetings.
Yep.
Where we meet now at the Smooth Rock Center.
Yep. In Liberty Park, in Vesavia Hills, in Alabama, in America,
yeah,
in the world.
Those things. And then, of course, you know, the shining moment, the crown in our historical, I mean, the jewel in our historical crown, sometime in like August of 2023. You called me.
Yes.
To fill in for that fateful Sunday.
I did.
Which then turned into a month, which then turned into every week.
Forever.
Which then turned into...
Indentured servitude.
Yeah. Well, this is the funny part. Will was talking about how...
a former curate.
Our associate pastor at the time that he raised part of his funds. The church paid part of his salary. And I was like, haha, could I do that? And you're like, well, yeah, probably. And so we started thinking about it. And then I started to commit to it and started to raise funds. And this story is not about me, but I do want to share. I thought it was just because it's amazing. I was like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. Like, I had friends that had raised money for, like, the RUF internship. And I was like, I know I can do it, but it's really intimidating. The first person I reached out to donated 75% of my total goal. And I mean, he told me that on the phone and he said it so casually and he's like, and you know, maybe if you need more, like we can talk about it. And I was just like, what? What do you,
I think I misunderstood you.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
And not only did he commit to that, but he has, since followed through and,
yeah, pretty amazing.
Absolutely incredible.
And just a story that, like, when you take that leap of faith, I mean, God takes you on all sorts of twists and turns, but often he provides in ways you just cannot fathom or expect.
Well,
which is why we're sitting at Livano.
Yeah. And fun note that's not of a ton of consequence, but, you know, I fully anticipated, like, okay, I'm going to leave my job at this tech startup that's not really a startup anymore, but big tech company in town, where I've been for 4 years. Like, it's almost like a vow of poverty. Like, I know we're not going to have much money, whatever. Well, pretty shortly after that, my brother moved and we started renting his house and saved a significant amount of money each month on that.
Thanks for leaving town, Michael.
And then I have two jobs and I got a new job as my other job. And I now make more than I did.
Wow.
At that tech company.
That's crazy.
It is crazy, and it's certainly not what I was, like, hoping for.
So now you can buy a Jeep?
This. No.
Okay.
No, things are very expensive, especially Jeeps. But anyway,
maybe you could steal one and then give it back.
It was very affirming.
Yeah.
To have that money. So anyway, but then you know, other things happened, and now we're here, and we meet weekly, here in Liberty Park.
Yep.
We have wonderful people, new people. A lot of life, I feel like, and things are continuing to grow, never quite in the way that We expect them to.
Hey, since we're on the topic of money, if you want to give money to Restoration Anglican in Birmingham, come
on.
Or
the podcast.
Go to our website. You can donate. Or you can actually give directly to Andrew. And if you only give to Andrew, I will love you. But you can also give to Restoration.
But that's pretty much it. That's largely Will. There's
it's me in a nutshell,
we could say.
As Mike Myers said in Austin Powers. Here's me in a nutshell.
I particularly liked him as Shrek and also in the fundraiser for Katrina Telethon. Mike Myers is a very diverse actor.
Yes.
So anyway, that's it. We're going to take a break.
Yep.
And we'll be back.
Boo-hoo, and cry your tears.
Follow our social media.
Social meds.
You'll be able to like find out when we're going to come back and maybe get some other content in the meantime.
Sort of like when you have your favorite season of a show end. I know this is how it is for you guys.
Right,
I know it is. And you're just so sad because you're like, man, I have to wait a whole year for the next season to come around. And you're like, I guess I have to listen to other things and spend my time other ways. Well, that's true for this.
It'll be okay.
You'll be all right. Find something else, not quite as good, but decent enough to get you through the next few months.
Yeah.
And we'll be back most likely in Advent or somewhere around that time.
So to close this out, give us a fun fact. Tell me something I don't even know about you, Will.
I had glasses when I was in third grade for about 1 week.
I don't see any.
I didn't have any vision problems.
Why did you wear glasses?
Because three of my best friends had glasses.
That's awesome.
Yep. What about you?
Oh gosh.
Something I don't know.
When I was 5, I won a citywide coloring contest. It was Christmas time. You filled out these coloring sheets. Like you just colored them in, but it was like who can do the best, and you put, you know, cotton balls on them and stuff. And I won the grand prize of $100.
Amazing. And you invested all of that into Bitcoin and now you're a millionaire.
Yeah, but don't tell people.
Okay. Then they'll come and hack you to death.
Well, thank you very much for tuning in, loyal listeners. Until next time, and there will be a next time, I'm Andrew Panic.
And I'm Will Schaferman.
And this is Accessibly Anglican,
a podcast for the Anglo-curious. Nailed it.